2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Perhaps up to here, this precious and holy word of God, Peter, a man of God, it is already his second letter, as he says here. And we find again and again, when we read in it, that he wants to keep the believers awake and remind them to think back and hold on to what has been given to them through the Holy Spirit, what has been said to them through the holy prophets, through the apostles, what has been communicated to them, that they should not forget all the words that have been given to them. When I read this, I had to reflect on it and think, brothers and sisters, we too cannot hold on to anything else but to what God has put upon the lampstand, especially in these days, through his servant and prophet. That is the truth. And also Peter here, if it had not been necessary, he would not have needed to write it at all. But he urged the believers to pay attention to the word of prophecy, to the word spoken by the prophets. Partly it was already fulfilled in their day, when the apostles were on earth, when the Lord Jesus came, many things were fulfilled, and yet much is still to be fulfilled in our day. But we should also pay attention to what these men of God spoke, driven by the Holy Spirit. In those days, when they had to deliver these prophecies, it may have sounded as if they had spoken something that did not exist at all, that could not be fulfilled, that could not come to pass. But we must remember one thing, dear brothers and sisters. God does what he wants, and he has made his will known. When he brings it to fulfillment, is up to him. And no human being can add to or take away from it, but he has reserved the time for himself. But we should, and I believe that the apostles too, looked back with open eyes on what the prophets had spoken. And the Lord himself also read from the books of the prophets and said, Today this word is being fulfilled before your eyes. Isn't that marvelous? Brothers and sisters, we are so grateful to God that we don't need anyone. We only need what God gives us, and that is his word. And the men he has sent, that we love them, that we cherish them, that we heed what they have spoken from ancient times and down to our day, and so we are happy and grateful. Of course, if we talk about it, it will seem ridiculous to many, even in our day. It was probably the same in the days of the apostles, that it seemed ridiculous to many. But Peter says here that in the last days scoffers will appear, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning." But they don't know that God does what he wants, and they don't see God's plan either. But God has finalized the plan, and we, as the children of God, can see how everything is being gloriously fulfilled, and we are grateful for this and move forward in faith, because we know, as in those days, as we have read here, the world has ended through the water and all that. Who spoke it? Didn't God announce it beforehand? It has happened. It has come to pass. It has actually become a fact. People may have laughed when Noah was at work, and perhaps many others with him, and said, "When will it come?" After all, the ark was not finished overnight. But they may have talked and laughed in those days, and perhaps in our days too. It says that in the last days scoffers will arise and say, "Where is it all?" But let no one be deceived. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire. Yes, sir. That is what this man of God says. And where did he get it from? Did he just pluck it out of the air and fill this place? We need not worry. The hour is coming. The moment is coming. The time is coming when this too will be fulfilled. And the hour is very near. We have probably all read in the sermons of Brother Branham, and especially about the home of the future bride. That is something wonderful. For me personally, this sermon was very marvelous. I always imagined something different about a city, what it should look like. But according to what we have now been told, and this man of God has received it through the Spirit of God, can we not be happy about it? Oh, we are so grateful to God. And many things will perhaps be different than we thought. But it doesn't matter. You know, our joy is all the greater. We can let go of our own opinions, our own thoughts, and what we might have about the Word, and want to rely completely and totally on His Word. And that is why we are here together today, to worship our Lord and Savior, to offer Him honor and praise for all the words of life that He has also sent to us in these last days. They are not empty words. No, they are His words, and they are being fulfilled. Yes, the seventh verse is so wonderful. It is a very powerful verse. Perhaps if you told it to people, they would laugh at it. Nothing can happen. How is it supposed to happen? You know, maybe even when everything is just about to happen, and the people are still carefree, they go and say, "The main thing is that it doesn't affect us." That's pretty much how it looks. But no one needs to deceive themselves, because it says, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And I would like to say, we want to sow on the Word of God, and we want to stand on the infallible Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't know, but we should give God the honor and also thank Him tonight for everything He has made known to us. For not too many, brothers and sisters, has it been revealed, only to His own, to those whom He has chosen. We see it already in those days. He spoke to all in parables, but those whom He had chosen He took aside and spoke plainly. This is marvelous. And so also with us. He spoke so that we could all understand. Praise be to His wonderful name. Now let us rise and worship. We thank you with all our hearts for this evening hour, for this gathering in your precious and glorious name. Lord, we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away. What your holy mouth has spoken, what your apostles have spoken, what the prophets have spoken, it will be fulfilled, Lord. For you have not spoken deceptive words. No, Lord, you have spoken words of eternal life, and words of comfort, and words of judgment, and words of salvation. Lord, you have given everything what is necessary for our salvation. We worship you tonight and ask you, Lord, to be powerfully present in our midst tonight, Lord. May you bless us from the riches of your grace. Lord, we believe your word. We trust your word. We know you will bring everything to fulfillment. Thank you, Lord, that we can look up to you even tonight. You will continue to bless us, and you will continue to be with us. Bless us, Lord, as we hear your word. Bless your servant, our brother, as he opens his mouth to bring your word, Lord. Give grace, Lord, to all of us, that we may receive with open hearts and with open ears, Lord, and then exult and rejoice with full gratitude to meet you. Honor and praise to your holy name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here to worship. And we can still say, Lord, teach us to pray. When it comes to faith, we know that Abraham persevered in faith where there was no hope, because he had a promise from God. That is the difference between hope and faith. Where there is still a point of reference, we have hope. Where there is nothing more to hope for, that is where faith comes in. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but which God has promised. And tonight we are here to pray. To pray that God will come into his own. We don't want to tell him what to do, because he knows. God knows exactly what he wants to do and what he will do. When we pray, then only did we get into the position that God can do through us what he wants to do through us, and to us what he wants to do to us, and in us what he wants to do in us. I was particularly touched by the verses that the apostles and the prophets spoke in the name of the Lord, and that these words should be remembered, and that they are words of the Lord, words of God. And then there is also this verse, which was read last, by the same word, by no other word, there is no other word, by the same word by which heaven and earth were created, the visible and the invisible made, by the same word the present heaven and earth will be dissolved in flaming fire, by the same word a new heaven and a new earth will come. Everything happens through the one word of God. That is something marvelous. all things that were made through him. John 1. And without him nothing was made of all that was made. Indeed, the words of men do not count at all. And the Lord says, when their breath goes out, they return to the dust. Their plans come to an end. God has no beginning. God has no end. His plan has been made from eternity, and he will bring it to fulfillment. Of course, when we read these words, which belong to our time, we ask ourselves the question, how close have we come to all of this? And we realize from the signs of the times that it is just around the corner. Every day is a day of grace, a gift from God. Every hour should be used in this or that way for our own preparation and, if possible, to become a blessing for others. The psalmist already said the following in Psalm 102, verse 26. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Is not this marvelous? Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. And it has already been said in the prayer, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will remain forever. And so we can rely on this. We live in a time when people are looking for peace, and we hear about a new peace movement, and to it the Bible word, swords into plowshares, in East and West, in Europe and America. And I have just read the two passages that speak of this. And people completely overlook God's program and take a word that applies to a completely different period of time and want to apply it now. I will first read you the word where it is written that the plowshares are to be made into swords. The slogan, according to the word, which we will still read, is swords into plowshares. And today, the biblical statement came over the radio that the swords, that is, the plowshares, no, the swords are to be made into plowshares. It is almost a mockery that atheists, people who believe nothing at all, take and adorn themselves with any Bible verses if they fit into their program. And then, if they themselves have no peace, who do they want to bring peace to? If they do not receive the one who brought peace, then they have no peace. For thus it is written, there is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord. So it is written. In Joel chapter 4, verse 10 it says, Joel chapter 4, verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. The same God can be terrible and judge for some, merciful and savior for others, depending on which side the people are on. Here we first read what comes first, namely that the plowshares are turned into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. And only then will Micah 4 be fulfilled. Micah 4, here it says, maybe I'm just reading verse 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. What a marvelous word! The parallel to this is in Isaiah chapter 2. And you can see from this the time period to which this word refers. Isaiah chapter 2, here it says, from verse, perhaps just for the sake of brevity, from verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Actually, almost as literally as in the prophet Micah. And we can see when this will be fulfilled. Let's read verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That will be the time when swords will be forged into plowshares, and Satan will be bound, and there shall be peace on earth for 1,000 years. As long as Satan is loose, every blacksmith can be busy turning swords into plowshares. Satan will concoct something new, and it will not succeed. But when he is bound, things will be different. And so we thank God that we can place things the way God has placed them. We see what is about to happen. We can see what will happen before the millennium begins. We can detect when, what, or where it belongs. But if we knew all this and came up short as the Lord's church, that is to participate in the rapture, then none of it would have been worth it. What use is it to us if we know this and that and really everything? And I believe that God has given us grace and an overview that the prophets and the apostles probably had, and that has been opened up to us so wonderfully through the end time message and through the Spirit of God. But all this does not yet mean your and my preparation. It does not yet mean that you and I will be there when the Lord comes. And we have gone through it in the last sermons about the token, about the cry of desperation, about stepping into the breach, and all these sermons, they go to our hearts. And we stand there, sit there, and kneel, however it may be, and say, Lord, you have promised that the word has come forth from your mouth, and it will not return void, but will accomplish what God has sent it to do. The same mouth that sends forth the call, the mouth of the Lord, the same word that reaches us, that we believe, the same word contains the promises for our preparation for the day of the Lord's return. And we believe the same word with all our heart. Whether heaven, whether earth, whether its transformation, its burning, its renewal, whatever, whether nations, whether people of Israel, whether we individually or as a church, it is the same word of the Lord. The mouth of God has spoken, and the promises of old will not fail to materialize. Wait for them, says the prophet Habakkuk, until they are fulfilled. Though they tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. By the same word, we have been called into existence, born again by the living and eternal word of God, the same word, the same seed, the same power. That we see here in everything, we must see and also experience in ourselves in faith. I believe we said it at the weekend. It is not enough for us to speak of redemption. It must be revealed, because the Redeemer has come. The prophets held out the prospect of redemption, but salvation, redemption, forgiveness, and grace have come with Christ. So it is not just a prospect, but a taking possession of the things that God has promised. And that's where I see myself, and perhaps some of us, falling short. At some point these days, I asked the question, when did the Lord preach a sermon on healing the sick? He didn't preach a sermon on healing the sick, but he healed all the sick. I don't know where he preached a sermon on the forgiveness of sins. It could be. I only know one thing. He said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." That was his sermon. And the Pharisees were also on the spot, thinking to themselves, "Who can forgive sins but God?" They did not know that he was God in human form, and he sees through their thoughts and says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he says to the sick of the palsy, "Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." I have looked it up. I have not found a sermon where Paul or Peter talk about healing the sick. Of course, these are also letters addressed to the churches. But the real point is probably that we don't talk and speak about these things, but that we experience the spoken word and the promises become part of our life of faith, that the sick are healed and sinners are saved, that the lost are found, that God's word can do again what it was sent to do. That, I believe, is where our whole desire lies. And we see that when the Lord was resurrected, he said to his disciples, "I give you power." And he said quite literally, "Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." He actually passed on his own power, transferred it to his own, and said, "He who hears you, hears me." Oh, that God could speak through us, that he could work through us, that we would turn away from ourselves and realize that he is the Almighty and cannot change and must stand by his words. Please understand the word "must" correctly. We cannot say to God, "You must." There's no such thing. But he cannot deny himself. He cannot take back his word. That's what it's supposed to mean. Oh, that we could believe. We would see the glory of God. Let us come before God tonight with supplication, with prayer, with thanksgiving, with faith, and with intercession, and whatever God puts in our hearts. And let us tell him everything and trust him with everything. Whoever prays to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him and give them what they ask for. God wants to meet us in prayer. He wants to bless us. He wants to be with us and reveal himself to us. I believe that the cry of desperation will surely become great. and all indifference and lukewarmness must fall away before God can reveal Himself. We must enter in with force, and God will make Himself known as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we believe this? Can we believe that God stands by His words? It is difficult, I tell you, but we must trust God. On our own, that is a very difficult thing. And Brother Branham had it easy in that he saw visions, and God showed him that the person he wanted to pray for was already healed. And every time he saw that in the vision, he was able to say in perfect faith that the person in question was healed. And then he said, shouldn't God, if we ask Him based on the promise of His word, do the same without Him giving a vision? And we cannot all be prophets, but we all believe what God has spoken through the prophets and what He has said through the apostles and what has been written down. And we have a great cloud of witnesses in the Old and New Testament who could bear witness to the power of God, to the love of God, to salvation, to grace, to everything. And if all those who have been saved and healed in this generation could be placed here somewhere and bear witness, but the room would be far too small for them. God has done great and marvelous things for many. Should He not do it again for those who cry out to Him day and night? Let me read the psalm that I wanted to read before the other scriptures were added, so that I do not reproach myself. Psalm 123. Unto Thee lift I up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us. Until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with a scorning of those that are at ease, and with a contempt of the proud. Is not this my state and ours? Is this not your cry and mine? Our overall situation, the situation of God's people in general. And we have a clear view of what is happening to Israel. And many believers actually do. There are enough believers who have sufficiently fathomed the word of prophecy through their own research, even if not through revelation of the Spirit. But they have researched and have seen some things and put them together. But they do not see what God is doing with the church. They have not even recognized that God has sent a messenger. How can they understand what God is up to through the whole message? But I think that God allows us to see and recognize things in a balanced way now in the end times by grace. And we want to thank Him for that. And our main focus must be on what comes first, and that is the rapture. Only then will salvation come to the Jews, and we see that they do not submit, but they give themselves room, or at least they have courage, and know that God is with them. May God give us courage, as it says of our Lord, rule in the midst of your enemies. We spoke with our brother Kalaita very briefly a few days ago, and it came out that we are surrounded by enemies. Here it says, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. Just as Israel is surrounded by enemies, so we are surrounded by enemy powers. And I don't mean people at all, but really the powers of the enemy. And we look to God, our Lord, who is able to help us. He has already helped many and will also help us in our need by grace. The servant went out and did the work. And what about the maid? Her eyes looked at her mistress, and she said, today you are doing this and that. And that was common practice. We remember that from the old days. That's how it says here. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. But let's be honest now. Where are there any servants and handmaids today, even earthly? Where is there a handmaid who looks at her mistress and says, wait a minute, when am I going to get something to do? Today, everyone is their own master. Today, the servant is the master. The maid is the mistress. The whole situation, purely earthly, is no longer as it once was. And now we come to the spiritual. What about our looking to the Lord, our God, until He has mercy on us? Haven't some things changed there too? Or has it stayed the same? If things had stayed the same, we are currently translating a sermon with the title, What is the Attraction on the Mountain? And Brother Branham explains, here, there, everywhere, where something special happened, people looked. It was an attraction by what God did. How do our eyes look at the Lord? Like the maid looks at her mistress, or the servant looks at his master today, then it would be sad for us. The old state of dependence on God must be there again. And then He will answer. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy on us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Who is not weary of it? But that alone is not enough to be weary. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. Do we disgrace ourselves if we pray this as the psalmist has prayed? Not at all. We are not ashamed. We say, Lord, have mercy on us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. You all know, we know what we are talking about. We are fed up with the scorn of the frivolous. How many are there who are reckless and full of scorn? How many are proud and have nothing but contempt? And here the psalmist says, our souls are fed up. May God grant us grace to send this cry up to him through the Spirit. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with a scorning of those that are at ease and with a contempt of the proud. May pride and frivolity be far from us, mockery and scorn anyway. But may God put it into our hearts to call upon him and say, O Lord, you have given the promise. We trust you to give it by grace. Only when God helps us are we helped. If he blesses, then we are blessed. And we really want to offer all this to him from our hearts tonight, together with all these prayer requests. I don't know whether we will kneel down or whether we'll come to the front. How should we do it? All right, come to the front. Heavenly Father, I too thank you with all my heart for your precious and holy word. In the beginning was the Word. You brought all things into existence through the Word. Also, this present heaven and the present earth have their existence through your Word. The new heaven and the new earth come through your Word. Lord, we are here according to your Word to become a Word church, a Word bride. Lord, through whom every word can be fulfilled. O God, let the mockers mock no more. Lord, that you may bear witness to yourself, the living one, the true one, have mercy on us, have mercy on me. O God, bless us from the riches of your grace. We worship you and thank you for it. Hallelujah. Make me as your servants have been of old. O Lord, my God, make us obedient, my God. As you have promised, so do to your people in this time. As you have said, you do nothing but reveal your secret to your servants, the prophets. And you have made known the mystery of your will. And now, by your Spirit, you are guiding us into the whole mystery of your will, which has been hidden since the foundation of the world, but now made known to your people through the opening of the seals, through the revelation of your Spirit. Lord, we are not discouraged. Lord, we are strengthened in your presence. We are strengthened in the faith that you are unchanging. You remain the same forever. Heaven will pass away, and the earth with all the works of the people will dissolve, but you remain and your plan will be realized. I thank you for that. Lord, give me, give us the guidance of your Spirit. And as the servants originally and in times past looked in awe to their masters to receive the orders and commandments for work and service, so we look to you. You are our Lord. You are our Master. Lord, give us the instruction and give us the strength to carry it out. O God, we ask you to give both at the same time. My God in heaven, transform me inwardly, conform me to your word and your Spirit. My Lord, may you look down and be well pleased. Lord, we sense that you are present. We are a small group here, and yet it seems to us that you have called us. And as a hen takes her young under her wings, so you have taken us under your wing this evening. My Lord, we thank you for this and praise you and worship you, for you are close to us. You have spoken, we have received it, and you watch over your word to bring it to fulfillment. Lord, let us experience the complete restoration of all that has been lost and see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and handle with our hands how the word of life is manifested. Beloved Lord, we ask you to grant us services as in the beginning, services in which you can come into your own. Worship and honor be to you. We lay before you all brothers, all our sisters, all our acquaintances, all our relatives, all our loved ones. We lay them before you. O God, also the prayer requests, especially Brother Alois in Salzburg, there in the hospital. Lord, touch him. We ask you, O God, and all others who are in need, may they feel that your arm is not too short and that your strength has not diminished, but that you are the same. Faithful God, bless your people. Have mercy on us with your eternal and divine full mercy, which includes us completely, O God. And if we have found grace in thy sight, then go before us, O Lord, and grant us grace and strength to follow you. Lord, we pray again for all of us who are here and for all who are not here tonight. O God, you know your own, and your own know you. Lord, they will listen to your voice. I thank you for that and praise you. Give us always, especially me, grace to do so. Oh, unite us with you and with one another, as intimately and warmly as you meant it. Worship and honor to your holy name. Amen.